The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
Welcome to another edition of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network, 1500 AM, the website federalnewsnetwork.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. The Redskins improved to 7-7 on the year after a 16-13 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's right.
How far have they fallen, Kevin Stanfield?
This is amazing. It's amazing. I told you before we started the show, if Cody Kessler is starting for Jacksonville, what in God's name does that say for Blake Bortles, man? What does it say? I don't understand, man. But yeah, they're not the ones that were last year when they were like dominating and intimidating the league, right? But we'll take it. They still play some defense now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And it's interesting because, you know, the game outside of the last 4 or 5 minutes or so went about the way I would expect a game where the opposing quarterbacks are Josh Johnson and Cody Kessler would go.
Right.
There'd be a lot of sloppy play, not a lot of offense. Cody Kessler, I think, had 57 yards passing. I'll check that. I'll get my research staff.
Get them on that.
I'll check that. But 57 yards passing, I mean, the game for the first few quarters, outside of just rooting interest for wanting to see your team win, there was not a lot of reason to even watch the game, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but look, I got to start out because I made a commitment to a fan here, right? Because I want to talk about a good friend of ours is Rick from Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick from Bowie cornered me before the show, right? And he was an impassioned fan. And he wanted to know, he said, your quarterbacks are down. You got a quarterback that hasn't played in a while. Why not just, instead of trying to be cute with the offense, just tell your offensive lineman, look, block the guy in front of you. We're going to give the ball to AP and just let him go to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what, and Rick had a very valid question, because I would think that's what your game plan should be. Heavy dose of running, pass when necessary. But initially, the game was nothing like this. They put the ball in Josh Johnson's hands, more than I thought that they would have in a situation like this against a top-ranked defense and in a must-win game, nothing like that. And he didn't perform the way you thought that he needed to. But he managed the ball. He didn't turn the ball over, and he ran. He started thinking run first a couple of times, right? Mm-hmm. I remember one play in particular. It was in the second. It was in the third quarter, actually, and Josh Doctson was wide open. Wide open, but the other Josh, the second Josh, determined and said, "Well, look, I'm gonna run this. You know, I take my seven step drop. If I don't see somebody, I'm taking off." But Josh said, "Well, here I am." He said, "That's okay. I got it. But to answer Rick from Bowie's question, you're absolutely right. That's what they should do. And at the end of the game, that's what they ended up doing. You know,
no, so, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because, you know, at the end of the game, you talk about two quarterbacks I hadn't heard much of this year: Cody Kessler and Josh Johnson. Also, you know, Jeremy Sprinkle making an impact late in the game. Hadn't heard much from him all year.
I mean,
it was almost like the game of what in the world's happening. Who's this guy?
Yeah, apparently no one who knew was on the team except for Josh Johnson.
Right, exactly.
He seemed to find him. He found him in a couple of key situations and found him for a touchdown pass.
A lot of guys weren't making it easy for Josh Johnson, dropping a lot of passes out there. And so he had to find someone who would just, I don't know, hold on to the ball, who would just catch the ball.
You know, but interestingly, I do think that that's a thing. If you have a running quarterback and a quarterback that you don't know exactly where he's going to be when, it takes a second to get used to that, because you don't know when you're running your best route and not sure if the ball is coming. You got to be ready to either catch or block at any given moment. Plus, you know, you got guys like Jalen Ramsey trailing mm-hmm. you around, right? So it's a difficult circumstance for the receivers. But when crunch time came, They seemed to perform. I mean, the pass that Jamison Crowder concentrated on, you know, in the tip ball, right? That was crucial. You're still playing the Jacksonville defense, and you know, dare I say, we're still in the playoff hunt.
Well, I mean, look, last week we played that song saying it's over. This week I think we should play Smokey Robinson. It ain't over.
It ain't over. It ain't over. No, yeah, we'll find that somewhere. It ain't over. Yeah. But no, it's not over. It's not over. And then we need a little help from our friend up north, Captain Kirk, right? We need just a little bit of help from the captain, but they showed the graphic that said, you know, if Washington wins out, how many times have we sang that song? Right. If Washington wins out, then, and I think we need one loss from Minnesota, that, you know. But you know what? This is one time I know we can depend on the captain.
Well, at least the win out option is in week 18. I mean, in week 15, and not in week 4 like normal, where we have to win out from week 5 and not lose a game. But, well, and then the Cowboys, you know, they end up laying an egg against Indianapolis. I mean, who would have thought that given the last few weeks? But I guess you go on a winning streak, someone's going to lose at some point. But, I mean, who saw that coming? And so the Cowboys lose. You've got the Eagles matched up against the Rams tonight. At the time that we're recording this, it's Sunday, right after the Redskins game. And so, you know, yeah, look, it ain't over for the division, oddly enough, and it ain't over for the wild card. And you know what? We're not crazy for talking about it because there's only 2 weeks left in the season.
Yeah,
so right. Something's got to give.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting because – well, and you know, you have to be kind of optimistic because if the fourth string quarterback survived Jacksonville, which is without a doubt going to be the toughest defensive challenge this team has had all season, because these guys, like I said, they come, they bring it. Jacksonville. I mean, Calais Campbell was like in the backfield as much as, might have been in the backfield more than Adrian Peterson, knowing our country, right?
You know, right.
So, yeah, and Jalen Ramsey's a perennial all pro, right? These guys are bringing it, and yet they just got no offensive support. And you know, one might say that the Burgundy and Gold are in a better position offensively than Jacksonville is, you know?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, so Burgundy and Gold fans, I know I was saying it was over, but, you know, I didn't take into consideration the Josh Johnson factor.
Right, yeah, no, because when you were looking at it from the other way around, I mean, with Mark Sanchez, who could blame you for saying that it's over? So I want to take this game and break it down. Like, what parts of this game do you actually think is even worth breaking down? And I'm not trying to say that to be funny, but the receivers dropped a lot of passes. Josh Johnson took it upon himself to try to make things happen, and he did a great job, I think. Adrian Peterson is Adrian Peterson, and, you know, the defense played fine, but they weren't actually going up against any kind of world beaters. This kind of reminds me of some of the wins earlier in the season that the team stacked up that only qualifies as a win is a win is a win. I mean, it wasn't impressive. If you're playing against a better team, you probably lose the game, but you weren't, and you won.
Well, yeah, it's hard, like I said, it's hard to judge the offense because they're going against Jacksonville. They scored 16 points against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, in this new NFL that they claim exists, right, that might not be enough, but, you know, you're going against a team that only scored 13 points. Mm-hmm. And one of those they didn't score an offensive touchdown, you know, so.
Right.
It's, you know, it was enough to win. It was enough to win. I still have problems with the coaching staff and their, what's a good word for this? Unreliability. You never know what you're going to get. They got the Forrest Gump plan going. You just don't know what you're going to get. Like, for instance, Byron Marshall played quite a bit today. What happened to Capri Bibbs? He did so well, you know, in relief of Chris Thompson. Chris Thompson, is he 100% yet? Because he's not.
I don't know, because he's not looking like Chris Thompson.
Yeah, he's not looking very effective here, you know. And Josh. Apparently, you know, they had Jalen Ramsey on Josh Dotson a few times. And like I said, when he was open, he didn't get the ball. So I'm going to give the receivers a pass on this. The tight ends, you know, you got it. If it wasn't for the tight ends, Josh Johnson, we got to maybe just call him by the last name. JJ found the tight ends quite a bit today. And the tight ends, for the most part, they performed. The running backs, you know, except for the end of the game when Adrian Peterson put the whole team on his shoulders and said, I got this, you know.
Yeah.
The running game was pretty, it was inconsistent, but it came at inconsistent times, right? I'm still like dealing with the coaching staff on that. So I think that all in all, they did about what we expected them to do and a little bit more because they had to get into field goal range. They had to have a drive at the end of the game to get into field goal range.
Mm-hmm.
And they came through. I mean, it was AP. It was JJ, AP, and JS. You know, they brought the guys. They did what they had to do. It was a game-winning drive. When's the last time you seen one of those around here?
No, you're right. You're right. Got all that they needed. I mean, you know, gosh, was it a 3rd and 16 where Cody Kessler threw an interception? You know, you figure,
yes.
You know, he could not get the game-winning drive done, but Josh Johnson did, and they were able to manage the clock. I was shocked that as the time was winding down, that they gave the ball to AP as much as they did on that final drive. But I guess you figure, well, the win is basically in our hands. We might as well not jack this up, right? So that was a good deal.
I think though, AP might have messed up their game plan a little bit. I think that they gave him the ball and he was productive. And the coach has a play dialed up for like 3rd and 9, but AP put him in 3rd and 1. And they said, oh God, what do we do? And if you notice, the way the team, like the way they respect AP, the way they congratulate him when he has a big run and stuff like that, this man is an idol to these guys. And it has to mess them a little bit to see your idol, you know, being treated like that. You know, he has a good run. Oh, if he doesn't make over 3 yards on his first run, they take him out the game. You know, that messes with my head. And I know it messes with Rick from Bowie, right? It messes with him. But you got the one of the foundations there, the formula of what it's going to take to win. And you messed around and didn't do that early in the year. Now you are where you are. And I want to be optimistic. I thought I was being realistic when I was playing It's All Over last week, right? But they still got a shot. But they got to do the right things to make sure it happens.
Got to do the right thing to make sure it happens. Speaking of the right thing, we're going to do the right thing after we take this break and do fake news or not. We'll also hand out Stanfield Players of the Game. That's all coming up next on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network. Welcome back to segment number 2 of the Federal Football Report, Federal News Network, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. Redskins improved to 7-7 on the year after a 16-13 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars, the same Jacksonville Jaguars, by the way, who were in the AFC Championship game last year. They're 4-10 right now. That's how things change. Before we get the fake news or not, Kevin, I just want to go through do we even want to go through these numbers?
Yeah, I think we have to, man. We owe it to America.
Exactly. Josh Johnson, 16 of 25, 151 yards, 1 touchdown. I mean, you think that that's meager. We'll wait till we get to Cody Kessler. Adrian Peterson, 19 carries, still about 7 carries less than I'd like to see, 51 yards, no touchdown. Josh Johnson, like you said, who decided halfway through the game, I've got to put the team on my back. I got to stop throwing the ball and just run. 9 carries, 49 yards. And by the way, when that's effective, do it. Why not?
Yeah,
Chris Thompson,
yeah.
5 carries, 9 yards. A few receivers actually caught the ball today because there was so many drops today. Jeremy Sprinkle, 3 catches, 19 yards, and 1 touchdown. Adrian Peterson had 2 receptions for 20 yards. Jamison Crowder, 4 receptions for 46 yards. He was targeted 4 times, so he didn't drop a pass. And it was headed his way. Josh Doctson targeted twice, but no catches. Now, I know you... I don't want to say defend or, you know, Josh Dotson apologetic, but what do you have about that? 2 targets, no catches.
Well, first of all, one of the targets is... back in my day, back then we played with leather helmets and all that, we didn't have a targeted stat because there's no such thing. I mean, if the guy's running down the sideline and you miss him by 20 yards, is that considered a target?
Right.
You know,
because
that's what happened to Josh a couple of times, right? And then he had Jalen Ramsey on him, right? You know, so, and there were times that he was wide open. So, you know, I'll take a pass on that because, you know, I'm sure he's going to go back, look at the film. Someone told me a long time that said, a guy with speed always thinks run first. And that's what he started doing eventually, right? And some of it was self-preservation, but like I said, Clayus Campbell's in the backfield more than Adrian Peterson, right? So I'm not saying Josh had a bad game. And then some of those runs, receivers had to block. So you got to turn from receiver to blocker in the blink of an eye. So I'm giving them all of them a pass today, because today was a different kind of game. This is the first time, all of them, the first time starting with this guy. you know, so I'm gonna give him a break. We're gonna see what happens with Tennessee, but I'll give him a pass today.
Okay, so you're keeping up with your typical give Josh Dotson the pass.
That's right. That's right. I'm partial to the receivers.
Well, at least you're consistent.
That's right. That's cool.
Vernon Davis, 2 catches for 16 yards. Michael Floyd, by the way, 2 receptions for 16 yards. Although he had a tough penalty, pass interference in the first quarter,
yeah,
I think that
early.
Was.
Yeah, early in the game, yeah.
Early in the game. I think the defense played very well. Ryan Kerrigan, I mean, was like a man on fire, especially in that first half.
Ryan Kerrigan and the, quote, Alabama wall, unquote, Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne played out of their minds today. They played out of their minds. Got to the point toward late in the game and started getting gashed a little bit. But they were playing. This was without a doubt Kerrigan's best game of the year, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. And it seemed as if that they were had studied and I'm not sure, I have to look at the injury reports, but it seemed like Jacksonville's O line was just as depleted as the Burgundy and Gold's O line. But we looked at when Atlanta came into DC and they had all those injuries and stuff, but yet they gashed the boys for about 5 million yards on the ground, right? But you can't take anything away from the effort these guys had today. They were playing possessed. They were playing out of their heads today.
No, absolutely. So America, you know what time it is. We do this. It's just, one of the most popular shows in all of sports radio. Not radio and media just in general.
In general.
It's fake news or not.
It's time for fake news or not.
That's right. 3 statements. I give them to Kevin. He lets me know whether it's fake news or not. Statement number 1, Kevin. With a win today, the Redskins are 7-7. Jay Gruden just saved his job. Fake news or not?
I'd say, the long pause right there, right? Some wishful thinking in there. I'd say that that's news. I'd say that the political environment and the desire to maintain the status quo might be enough where if he has somebody, if he's talking into the right ears and saying, I wish, if only we hadn't had these injuries. Oh, if only the quarterback hadn't gotten hurt. Oh, if only Adrian Peterson wasn't so good, I can throw the ball all the time. Stuff like that, right? He might be able to talk his way out of it, right? I hate to say this. But no, not hate. That's a strong word. I strongly regret saying that's news. I'm thinking we might be Gruden one more year around here, man. That's a verb now. You know how it changed it. We've been Gruden.
Yeah, Gruden. A verb. I'm going to say that I agree with you. I think that his job is safe, but I'm not sure if it has to do with winning today, if that makes any sense. Like, I think that for one reason or the other, Snyder doesn't seem to be antsy about Gruden. He seems to be fine with it. He seems to be okay with it. Now, I know he's taking this whole hands-off approach, kind of stay out the media and things like that, and so maybe he's just not talking about whether or not he's excited or happy with him or not, but it seems like he's fine with him. And so I think that he's safe, and I think that he was safe no matter what happened in this game. And then when you pile on the injury at the quarterback position, I think if the Redskins were 7-7, and even with Alex Smith. So again, I don't know. I think that it's alternative facts, if that makes any sense. It's not fake
exactly
news.
Because
I think that his job was safe no matter what. So yes, his job was safe, but not because of the win today. So alternative facts, I think, is
what we'll go with. Yeah. That's a little disappointing because there would be no change if that doesn't happen. Without a change in coaching staff and change in like philosophy. Mm-hmm. We're right back where we are again next year, which is dancing around 500 like it was a Cinderella ball.
Well, there you go. All right, it's time for statement number two on fake news or not. Since the Redskins 7-7, the Cowboys lost today against the Colts and the Eagles. Who knows what's going to happen there? But the Redskins 7-7. Hey, we know that we could make the playoffs, but it's also possible they could win this division. Fake news or not?
Well, that would depend. Who are the Cowboys playing for the final two games?
Let me look that up for you.
I think they're playing the Giants, perhaps, and the Eagles. They play the Eagles again because there was some strange quirk of the schedule where they play each other twice in 3 weeks. They may even play the Eagles next week, I believe. And, you know, interesting enough, there was a report last week that said that Carson Wentz had a cracked vertebrae.
Yeah, all of a sudden. And so now, what's our guy? Nick Foles is in.
Oh, well, you know what? That's
So, the Cowboys already played Philadelphia twice already. They play Tampa Bay next Sunday in Dallas, and then they're at the Giants to close out the season.
It was maybe it's the Giants. I don't know.
Actually the Redskins close out with
Philly. They do. No, I don't think they can win the division. I think whatever happened with Dallas getting blown up by Indy today, I think that was it was a fluke. I mean, Dallas hasn't played like that in five games, so
right.
And do you really want to win the division?
mean, depends on what your long-term strategy is.
Yeah. Do you really, really, really want to win this division? I don't know. I don't know how that would help. I mean, if that's the way of getting to the playoffs, yeah. But like I said, the stats, indication, whatever they show on TV that said that Washington's easiest road to the playoff would be if they win out and Minnesota loses one game. But if that's the case, that means you need a little help from a friend.
We've seen how he plays when playoff implications are on the line for the Redskins.
Yeah, right. So, you know, there'll be a box of chocolate. You don't know what you're going to get there.
Exactly.
Right?
There you go. Yeah, I think, I think that that's news. I think that, you know what? Yeah, Dallas played great the last few weeks. But they don't have anything locked up. Dallas could very well lose to Tampa Bay and lose to the Giants. We've seen them get in the playoffs and choke. We've seen Dallas choke away playoff games. I mean, I think that the East right now, I mean, and gosh, I can't believe I'm saying this because going into the season, I thought the East was back. But the East is so weak right now. Dallas could lose the next two games and the Redskins could win the next two games and the Cowboys finish 8-8 and the Redskins finish 9-7. Like, that could happen. So, now do I think it would happen? I don't know if the question was what did I think would happen. I think the question was can they win the East? And I think without going into the realm of La La Land, that yeah, I could see a path to still winning the East.
But right then now. Again, we're right back here again. Like we'll win the division if this happens and if that happens and if you park the car on the left side of the street on Tuesday and if you wear a gold hat instead of red pants and stuff, you know, it's always something other than us just being good enough to win the division, right? We're always dependent on something else to get us in there. And we've been here for 5 years. Five years. We're here again. I don't see things getting any better. I mean, there's a new attitude. I will say this unfortunately, with the injuries, we're in a position now that we're rooting for a guy who I believe stated that he was playing like Madden football.
Yeah, to try to get
the name. Yeah. This is the name of his teammates, right? You know. So we'll take it because he won. he learned Sprinkle's name.
Right. And he knew where he was.
Yeah. He knows AP. He knew those names, right? Exactly. You know, that's far. That's good, right? So. Yeah, that's news, but yeah.
We'll see. So the last statement in fake news or not, let's see, you've got Alex Smith, Colt McCoy, Josh Johnson, and Mark Sanchez. None of those four names will be the starting quarterback week one in 2019 for the Washington Redskins, whether for injury purposes or just not on the team anymore. Fake news or not.
That's as of right now, that's news.
Now, I said the starting quarterback.
Right.
But I should also include what. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily on the roster because, you know, likely he'll be on the roster, but may not be ready in time.
Yeah. I understand what you mean. But even so, I'm thinking that that could be news because it depends on what path they decide to go. I don't think that this team would be dumb enough to change their draft position just to try to get a stud quarterback because I don't think those guys exist unless you go if you're getting the kid from Alabama, maybe you're getting the kid from Oklahoma, maybe, but you would have to, especially let's say we're standing borderline of winning the division and so on and so forth. We're right in the middle of the pack NFL draft wise, right? You know, we're right in the middle. So you would have to give up so much, and we've danced that dance before around here, where you mortgage the team to get a guy, right? You know, and so if you get a middle of the road quarterback, if you get a late first round quarterback, early second round quarterback, you need a veteran to be like the placeholder until this guy is ready, because, you know, with the offensive line woes, you don't want to give a rookie, you know, put a rookie back there and let him get beat to death, right? You know,
Right. Everybody's
not going to be Deshaun Watson, right? Everybody's not going to be RG3 or Russell Wilson in the first year, right? So, yeah. And another caveat, you know, depending on how he plays the last two games, Josh Johnson might earn himself an opportunity to be around, you know,
Absolutely.
To at least compete.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what I'm hoping for, some competition. So that's on the news. That's on the newsier side of the fake news.
Okay.
Right? You know, I'm not, you know, that's a tough one.
See, I'm with you. And here's why I'm with you. I think that that's fake news, because I think that the statement was that none of them will be the starting quarterback.
Right.
So I think that that's fake news. I think that Josh Johnson, if he plays the way he played today, the next 2 weeks, win or lose, that he could, number one, be on the roster going into the preseason next year. He'll have a year with the playbook. He's been in the league. He's played on almost 12 teams, I think.
Yes.
And depending on how far out Colt McCoy and Alex Smith would be from returning. Now, Alex Smith may not even play next year at all, but Colt might be closer to being ready, who you're comfortable with being your starting quarterback. So it might be easier just to have Josh Johnson, who ended the season, have him go through off-season training, off-season program, learn the playbook, have him in preseason, have him start the first part of the season and hold things down until your quarterbacks are back healthy. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to bringing somebody in, keep this guy on the roster. So I think that that's news. Fake news. I think that, no, I think Josh Johnson could literally be the starting quarterback for the Washington Redskins. Well, not long term, but because Colt might be close to returning, and then Colt can handle things until Alex Smith is back, if he can get back.
You know, there's some scenarios where this can work, and the main one to me involves firing some people, because we can't go into it with the same defensive philosophy we had this year, because that has gotten us, you know, crushed, basically, to put it mildly, you know. And you know, fortunately, it was the Jacksonville Jaguars and Cody Kessler this time. And like I said, if Cody Kessler's like that, what was Blake Bortles like, you know? You know, he had a career year last year, right? Mm-hmm. And it was like, I remember his career, right? I remember he was a rookie, and then he showed great improvement.
Central Florida, right?
Yeah. And then it was great improvement. Yes. Then he just, like, went away, and then last year with the great defense, all he had to do was be the vaunted game manager and all this, and then he just did not show up this year. He just didn't show up. There are several games where they claim that they may have won if he had not been, you know, and, you know, which is another, you know, right now, would you rather have Josh Johnson or Cody Kessler, right? So, you know, Josh is playing himself into a job somewhere, just like I believe RG3 is playing himself into a job. I believe Nick Foles played himself into a job, and just like Case Keenum played himself, you know, he, you know, might not deserve the job, but at least he played himself into an opportunity, right? You know, so I still think that that's on the newsier side of fake news, right?
Okay.
You know, it depends on this team and the mindset, and depends on how these guys play the last 2 weeks.
All right, well, there you have it. That's your edition this week of Fake News or Not. And as we make this transition, Kevin, I want to ask you a question now about, the Stanfield player of the game. Who will you give that to this week?
You know, the guys earned it today, right? You know, I want to give it to Ryan Kerrigan and Jonathan Allen because they played the best games, right? And they really deserved it, right? And I want to give it to Josh Johnson because mm-hmm. this was his first start and he wanted the team to know that they could rely on him, right? That, you know, he'd protect them and keep them. But I'm going to have to give it to Adrian Peterson because when the game was on the line, when the game was on the line, he said, jump on my back.
Right.
I'll carry you, right? There's nothing like, same as Stanfield's, right? When it's cold outside.
Adrian Peterson says, hey, guys, I'm going to the Hall of Fame. Give me the ball.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, I'm going to the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Give me the ball.
Right, right. And so you want to keep your Hall of Fame athlete comfortable and warm. So that's why we're putting the Stanfields on Adrian Peterson this week, because he showed why he's going to the Hall of Fame. Because it's not always flash. You don't have to have every run be a 60-yard gallop, right? You know, when it's third and four, you need a guy that's going to give you 5 yards, mm-hmm. you know. And like I said about AP, after he stopped for no gain, will still give you 3 yards, you know. So yes, Adrian Peterson, right, he showed him how it's done today. He showed them how it's done, and I hope Jay Gruden is watching, because if there's a chance for them winning these next two games, it's going to come on the back of number 26.
Absolutely. And I'd like to give my Stanfields to Josh Johnson. It is not easy coming into the situation that he's coming into. Although, again, he's a pro. This is what you play for. This is what you're in. This is what you grow up wanting to do, to play. And it doesn't matter whether they called you, you know, 2 weeks ago and you've got to go on Madden to figure out what's going on. But this is what you do. And to engineer, to be in that situation and to engineer a game-winning drive late in the fourth quarter, last drive of the game, that's not hard to do. That's not easy to do.
Right. It's a hard thing. It's not hard for us. But
right, exactly. It's not hard for me to do, but it's hard for them.
Yeah, for them, right?
And so, you know, when you've got to get the job done and you got to get hard jobs done, you want to be comfortable in other areas. We don't want to be distracted.
That's right.
By the way, I'm wearing Stanfields today. I think ever since we've got that pack from Stanfields, I haven't worn anything other than Stanfields. They're the most comfortable undergarments you'll ever have.
Who would wear anything else than Stanfields, right?
You know. And I'll be honest with you, I think I'm going to go. I might even do it while we're on commercial break here on the Federal Football Report. I'm going to go on the Stanfields website, and I may order some Christmas gifts for myself, just to kind of get some. While I'm out buying stuff for everybody else, I may purchase my own. I like the performance ones. They're called the ones that are like the performance breathable ones.
Exactly.
Really, really comfortable.
But you know, as comfortable as underwear are, the shirts, right, are great, right, because they fit well. They're well constructed. They're well crafted, and they keep in the heat, right? You know, because winter is coming, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Stanfields.com is the website.
That's Stanfields.com. Nice website.
When it says legendary comfort, they're not lying. Like, they're not telling you anything that's not true. So you got to go to Stanfield.
We should have another contest that said when you go on Stanfield's website and look at the model, because the model, you don't see his face, and I want the people to decide whether that's you or me.
Right. Absolutely. So those are the Stanfield players of the game. They've also got these strong and free onesies if you want to buy them for yourself and for your loved one for Christmas. Yeah, everybody take those Christmas onesies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You could do that, too.
Oh, yeah. They got a great selection for the ladies as well. You know, we absolutely love them. We treasure the relationship that's forged between us and Stanfields, right? Because they're very, very special. Yes,
absolutely.
They are.
Absolutely. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. So, the Stanfield players, player of the game. So the next segment, we want to do a little talk about Christmas. But right now, I want to take a look at the schedule and preview the next game for the Washington Redskins in week 17. If you don't mind, I'm going to put a pause right there because I don't know who they're playing next week.
Oh, the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, the Titans. Okay, here we go.
In Tennessee. The only 4:30 start this year for some reason.
The only 4:30 start for some time this reason, as Kevin just pointed out, against the Tennessee Titans in Tennessee. Kevin, this game look, I don't want to say do or die, but it is a do or die game because they're still in the playoff hunt. And yes, they're still in the hunt for the NFC East title. What's got to happen this Sunday, this next game against the Tennessee Titans?
We have to have the same defensive performance we had by the front three or four or whatever. We need Preston Smith to show up a little bit today. I didn't hear his name called too often today. The linebacker started strong, but they sort of faded out at the end. Maybe they were calling different defenses. I don't know. But we need everybody. We need a complete defensive effort because Tennessee is the type. Marcus Mariota is the type of guy, like, he might throw for Cody Kessler-type numbers in one game, and the next day he'll light you up for five touchdown passes, right? So you don't know what you're going to get with Cody Kessler. So we need a solid, solid defensive effort. And this might come as a surprise to you. I know you hold on to your seat. Okay. I think we're going to have to run the ball consistently.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to have a healthy dose of Adrian Peterson. I'm talking like in the 24 to 26 carries range. You know, even if it's 26 carries for like 80 yards, that's showing me some ball control. That's showing me some discipline. That's showing me that you're committed to running the ball. And because the end of this game was kind of strange to me, the end, because Adrian Peterson got the ball a whole lot more than we're used to seeing him get it late in the game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of them was a pass reception, but the yardage he got mostly on his own. You know, it was like, okay, fellas, you take a break. I'll take it from here, right? You know,
right.
So, and you know, I'm baffled constantly by the use of Adrian Peterson, but this can't be a thing where they do him like that, right? You know, Chris Thompson apparently is not 100%. He's not back into it. We're going to need him. It's unfair to Josh Johnson, who's only been on the roster 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfair for him to have to carry the weight, you know, and you got a guy who's going to a Hall of Fame. So those two things, and special teams need to tighten up their act. They play, you can't have a one lapse because you see what happens when you have one lapse, mm-hmm. you know. So totally winnable game if we were coaching. Yeah,
totally winnable game. Defense has got to step up, and like you said, got to run the ball. And I think if you can try to have a game where we're just like this, you know, 16-13, 20-13, or 16-9, that's the type of game that the Redskins can win.
You know who agrees with you, though? You know who agrees with you? Coach Gruden. I asked him about I had a chance to grab him after the game and see what he thought about the what he needed to do in the upcoming game and, you know, how he needed to play well. But this is what he told me.
Defensive linemen, linebackers, safeties, corners, tight ends, yeah, offensive linemen, running backs, I think, and receivers.
Yeah, you know, that says it all right there, right?
Right, exactly. Exactly. By the way, I just got word from NFL.com that Alex Smith is back home.
Yes, yes.
After some complications after the broken legs, multiple surgeries, had an infection or something like that, but he's out of the hospital. He's back home. And so, again, nothing but the best wishes for Alex Smith. So coming up on the next segment of the Federal Football Report, as we close out another week, another great week of the show, we're going to talk a little bit about Christmas shopping. Who's done? Who's not? Where are you in it? Because, look, we are, when you're listening to this, I mean, on Monday, we're going to be a week away from Christmas Eve.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's going to be here and gone before you know it. And also, I want to ask Kevin about some weird Christmas decorations that I've seen this season. Like, and how weird does he get, if weird at all? But that's coming up on the Federal Football Report on the Federal News Network. It's the final segment of this week's edition of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network.
Well,
Kevin,
it's the final edition.
Let's make it, a Christmas edition, because Christmas is still what? Well, it depends on when people listen to this. What, a week away, less than a week, depending on when you're listening.
Yeah.
At the time that we're recording it, we're 9 days
from
Christmas.
Counting. That's right.
And yeah, man. And so, how much Christmas shopping have you gotten done?
Oh, well, are you including today and this weekend? You including all of that?
Yeah. Including today, including yesterday. Like, how much Christmas shopping have you gotten done?
None.
Okay. No, so you got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I got some work
to do. Well, how much? You've got a lot of women in your life that you've got.
Yeah,
a lot of,
yeah, yeah.
You've got
so,
wife,
you know,
daughters. And
it's for the past few years, I actually, like, jumped on it early and did a lot of online shopping, right?
Okay.
And I didn't do it this year. And I'm, you know, I can't trust delivery. And then I don't know if you saw the episode on the news where a guy stole the big screen TV out of
the
people's front.
Yeah, fit in his car.
Yeah. Like, and now I know somebody saw a dude with a big screen TV hanging out the back of his car. Right? I saw this. So I know they're going to catch him too. But yes, yeah, so I'm not going to trust that. But I'm thinking that maybe Friday, maybe Thursday after work, I'm going to, you know, brave the malls. And I have a pretty good idea what I'm going to get in person. I just, you know, I'm not a Scrooge, but you know, it's just like the finding the parking space and dealing with the people and actually finding something you want to spend money on. You know, it's a little bit challenging, you know, at times, right? So I'm not there yet. I'm quite hopeful. I'm quite hopeful that this will be the week that we can knock that out.
It's interesting because I'm not quite where you are. I mean, I've bought a few things, but I'm nowhere near done. But I do have in my mind where I want to go. But I actually enjoy the whole shopping thing and being out there because I love the holiday season. I love being out. So I don't mind it as much. As a matter of fact, usually what I do is Christmas Eve and even the day before Christmas Eve, I'll go out to a mall or two. Even if I have nothing to pick, I'm usually done shopping by then, but I just go out just to watch everyone else panic. So I get me some coffee from Starbucks. I walk around. I hum the little Christmas songs in the mall. I look at a few things, but I never buy anything simply because I'm done. I just want to be out among the people.
That's cool. You've restored my faith in humanity, man. You know, just that's so cool because I've always been a big fan of Christmas, right? You know, when I was a kid, we were in all the shows and in all the choruses. Right, the programs, and you know, I always had all the relatives over at the house, and I still look. Don't tell anybody this, man. If I see a Charlie Brown Christmas on TV, I'll stop and watch it.
Oh yeah, or Dr. Seuss Christmas.
Yeah, the Dr. Seuss version.
Man, I like to cut the tree on and the lights, and cut all the lights off, and just sit there and look at the tree. I like to see. I love it. I'm telling you. By the way, last year a colleague of mine and I, we wrote a book, Christmas 364. Mm-hmm, you guys can pick it up on ebook or just go online and pick it up. Again, it's Christmas 364. Be Merry and Bright Beyond Christmas Night. Yes, I am an author.
Yes. World renowned at that.
Exactly. Yes. Oh, 100%.
Yes.
Now here's the thing, though. One thing that I realized last year that I'm going to do again this year. So for my loved ones, I did one gift, but I also did like an act of service, like kind of like I made my own coupons. And so I gave my mom a gift and said, hey, this coupon. So she had a gift, but she also had an envelope with a coupon in it. It said, this is good for, you know, I can't remember what it was. And like my stepdad, hey, here's your gift, but here's also an envelope. And so I think for him, it was, you know, I'll treat you to a Nats game, a baseball game in the spring. And so I did like these experience and things with people. So it's not just about the gifts, but something else. Now, here's what's so great about it. You're seen as so thoughtful and so kind and, oh, wow, this is so great. Not one person that I did that for made good on the coupon. Not one person. And so you get away scot-free. So I'm thinking about not doing the gifts, just doing the experience.
Interesting. Because,
and here were the only two conditions for the experience. It was you have to pick the day. And I think I told my sister I'd do a whole weekend of babysitting for free. Like, you have to pick the day.
Yeah,
and it's only good for 2018 was what I said last year.
Uh-huh.
So it's only good for a year, and you have to pick the day. I'm not going to remind you. You have to pick the day. You have to initiate it.
Wouldn't it be so funny they all try to cash in, like, within the next week?
I know. I'm going to be so busy in the next 2 weeks.
They'll
but
treat
no
you,
one
teach you.
Cashed in, Kevin. And so if you're looking for a way to kind of, you know, be thoughtful and kind and maybe not have to, you know, make good on these offers, that's the way to go. Offer an experience or something with someone who you love and say, hey, you know what? I'll treat you out to breakfast one Saturday morning, or lunch on me, or I'll babysit your kids for, you know, two weekends of your choice in the new year. And they'll never make, most people will never make good on it. Not one person. And let me see, I get my stepdad, my mom, my brother, my sister, my other sister, my brother-in-law, and I think my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law. Yeah, eight people. I did that for eight, and not one person, Kevin, made good on it.
Well, look, let me ask you this. What do you think should be the cutoff? Now, my wife and I both have, like, mid-sized families of, you know, three siblings, right? Mm-hmm. And then their kids, right? My wife's side of the family is larger than mine with the sibling with the little kid. But she would buy kids presents for everybody's kids, right?
Okay.
You know, all her sister's kids and all, you know, and cousins. And And I said, no, maybe for my sisters. No, I'm not going to do all that. But what should be the cutoff? Because, you know, as they get older, like, that's one thing about, you know, kids' toys, right, for Christmas.
Go to Walmart, buy a $5 car.
Yeah, yeah. But as they approach 16 and 17, you know, I'm starting to think, you know, let them get a job.
Yeah, why are they coming to the family Christmas gathering with nothing in their hands, but they're leaving with a whole bunch of stuff?
So what
and they're 18 years
that's
old.
That's right. What should be the cutoff? It seems like I'm thinking 16 should be the cutoff, right? You know.
Okay, let me think. So here's what I think. I think immediate family should all, just for me, because, I mean, look, I've got two sisters, I got a brother, I think immediate brothers and sisters, mom, dad, they should get one, right? I think as long as they don't have too many kids, the kids should get one. Well, first of all, your budget sets the limit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your money tells you how many people to buy stuff for, first of all. I don't think anyone should go broke or get tons and tons of debt because of Christmas.
That's
foolishness. Don't go into debt and having to spend the whole new year trying to pay stuff back or missing rent because you're buying Christmas stuff. That's
right,
stupid.
Right.
Number one. Number two, I think that each sets his own, but I do think that if there's a rack of nieces and nephews and so many of them, when they're kids, that's fine, but the older they get, maybe here's a card for $10 or here's just a Christmas card, and that's it. Like, I think the older that they get, especially if you're getting to the point where you've got, like, 10 nephews and nieces, that's a lot. And
that's
the money,
a lot.
I think that that's
serious.
A whole lot. And you know what? Maybe it would be worth spending money doing an experience for all of them. You know what I mean? And I don't know what that would be. I don't know. But I think you got to find ways to get creative with that. But I'll put it this way. I'm glad that I don't have to figure that out.
Well, you know,
but I do have a lot of cousins and stuff on my father's side, even with my mom. But I don't buy them all anything. I don't.
Right.
There's one cousin that I do buy a gift for on my mom's side. But her brothers, I don't buy them anything. I mean, I don't know.
You know, we got a glimpse of Coach Gruden's Christmas list.
Oh. Offensive linemen, linebackers, safeties, corners, tight ends.
Well, you can't forget
offensive linemen.
Yeah,
running backs. I think for receivers.
Yeah,
he said running backs. There's one running back he better buy something for.
Yeah,
he better get something for Mr. Peterson.
That's right. I'll tell you something else that bothered me this year. The powers that be decided they were going to start Christmas advertising in early November.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually it would be like the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, so on and so forth. But this year, the Christmas ads and the Christmas shows were on well before Thanksgiving.
Oh, Hallmark started their Christmas movies October 26th.
That really, really turned me off, man. I mean, nothing can turn me off of the spirit of Christmas, but it really turned me off that the commercialism would sort of like go on the aggressive, right? You know, we want your money, we want it now, right? You know, and it turned me off. But fortunately for me, like I said, it's not going to impede me and my love of Christmas and what Christmas was truly about.
Exactly.
What it might do is sort of impede the gifts that I'm supposed to be buying because I was so mad at the man for putting all these things out early, right, mm-hmm. that I just haven't gotten into that shopping spirit yet. And it's going to be a tough one. It's a tough one this year.
Wow. Yeah, there you go. And it's one thing else about Christmas that I love. I love the decorations. My house is decorated. Well, so the outside is decorated and the basement, as far as the family room, is decorated because me and my wife have two separate schemes. I like the colors and stuff that. She calls it tacky. And she likes the classic stuff with the white lights and red and stuff like that. So she's going to do the...
I call that phony, but that's
exactly.
All right.
I call that snobby Christmas.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
what
I mean? It's supposed to be the lights and, you know, blue,
did she,
red.
Did she go red tree like Melania did, the red trees in the White House?
Really? I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah, all the trees in the White House are just solid red.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Look it up, man. Look it up. It's kind of ugh. You know what I'm saying?
So my wife likes the white lights and stuff like that. So anyway, so I'm doing the basement and, you know, the bath. There's another one. She wants to do the living room. Guess which room is not decorated yet?
Oh.
The living room. Her room. So anyway,
I love
decorations, but I noticed some weird things. Here's two things. So I'm driving down the street, and I noticed lights on the outside of a house.
Yeah.
Not a human house, a dog house.
Oh, no.
Do you decorate? And so I'm on Facebook the other day, and my friend Carrie Dudley, she has a wreath outside of her dog's, I don't want to call it a cage, because then the dog lovers, hey, cage.
Abode.
Yeah, and then...
I guess some people call it a kennel, but
the
dwelling.
Yes, gosh, the dog, crate.
Yeah, crate is the word.
So yeah, she had a wreath outside the dog crate, and then I saw someone with the dog house outside with lights blinking on it. Is that, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, like I said, I love a Charlie Brown Christmas, and Snoopy did get first prize for having the best decorations in the neighborhood. I think that's a little myself.
Yeah, me.
Just a little
But here's
bit,
the funny thing about the human house that had the dog house lit up. The human house didn't have any lights on it. Just the dog house.
Yeah, that's a little bit. That's a little strange right there.
That's strange.
So what do you think about the I don't know what you call it, the like the projector that has the moving lights?
Oh, just... I don't like it.
Oh, really?
I don't like it.
I love those things.
So and so we have mixed. So my mom loves it. I think she has one. My sister loves it, and my niece loves it. They have one. My neighbor has one. I'm just like, I don't know. But you know what? I'll be honest with you, Kevin. I actually would like to have one of those inside. I like inside and not outside.
Yeah, okay.
I'd light up my wall with one of those.
My neighbor has two, right? He has his house like you know, like from the side.
And I just you live in a wealthy neighborhood.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got need to cover your houses.
Yes, actually, right. We need to like get satellite coverage to cover our houses, right? Yeah. But I just think, you know, I think it's kind of cool. I'm just hoping that people just don't come and snatch it out of the ground.
Right.
I mean, like they did the guy's TV set.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to break it. You know, one thing I thought was weird that I saw. There's a place, I was walking down the street in Northwest Washington, D.C., near Wisconsin Avenue, there was a house that had an actual artificial Christmas tree, 6.5 feet, on their porch. And so they had their Christmas tree outside on the porch.
Interesting. Very weird. What's wrong with people?
I don't know. And the house had a bush outside, but that didn't have any lights on. But that had a tree on the porch.
Yeah, what is wrong with people?
I don't know what that's all about. But anyway, make sure you guys have a great time this holiday season. Again, the book is Christmas 364, Be Merry and Bright Beyond Christmas Night, Claude Jennings and Brenda Alexander, if you want to pick that up.
Now, we're not exactly certain what the outcome is going to be for the next Burgundy and Gold game, because it's up in the air whether we're going to do a federal football report. That might be our present to you is not doing one.
Yeah, because of the holiday season.
But we're gonna have to discuss it because the game is on a Sunday, right? And Christmas Eve, you know, we might get the greatest present, the second greatest present of all.
Right. Who knows?
A win and possible last game of the year for a playoff.
For the East.
We've been there.
For the playoff, and it could be for the East.
For
the Redskins win and go 8-7, and the Cowboys lose again, and they're 8-7, then, you know, who knows what could happen at that point, right? Well, no, if the Redskins win here, they'll be 8-7.
Yeah.
And the Redskins and the Cowboys be 8-7. That following week, the NFC East could be up for grabs. If the Cowboys lose, they'd be 8-8, and the Redskins be 9-7. Who knows?
All we need is a present from one person.
Kirk, still looking out for the Redskins playoff.
He's gone,
although,
but yet he's here.
Given his history, he usually sabotages it, and so maybe he'll actually win this year and sabotage the Redskins.
Yeah, you just can't depend on him either way.
Kirk is always crushing the hopes of Redskins playoffs, whether he's on the team or not on the team.
All right, but this year is about Josh. We got a quarterback who wants to be here.
Exactly. That helps. Yeah. Having a quarterback on your team who actually wants to be on the team, that helps.
That helps
and,
a whole lot.
Speaking of wanting to be on the team, we're on the team, and you're on our team. We'll be back with more from the Federal Football Report. Maybe next week, maybe not. We'll let you know. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network.